Today's shir is Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Zayin Mabeis, six lines from the bottom, Toshma. A Gemara continues to discuss under what circumstances a Gzar Din is torn up and under what circumstances is it not. Toshma, Buliyah Agiyaris once asked Regamliel, Siv b'taraschem. The Torah says, in describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu ashlayis upon him, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a person that is extremely exacting and does not show favoritism. The Siv, yet another pasuk that it says in Birchas Kohanim, says, Yis Hashem panav eilecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does show favoritism to Klal Yisrael. Nitma la Rabbi Yosef Kohen, so Rabbi Yosef Kohen joined the discussion and answered, how could I explain this case? How could I explain this circumstance? Somebody owes somebody else a certain amount of money. And they identified a certain time that he will by then pay up his debt. And he used the life of the king as a way to make an oath that he will pay in a timely fashion. He gives man, and then the time for payment came, and he didn't pay what he was obligated to pay. So he comes to ask the king for forgiveness that he used his name in vain, so to speak. And the king responds to him, I'm prepared to forgive you on the way you treated my reputation. However, he said to him, what you need to think about is about what that you owe somebody else this money. Hachinami, says the Gemara, that's how we could approach the psukim that seem to be contradictory in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us. Kam be'averus shebadam l'makim. Be'averus shebein adam l'makim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we discussed so extensively in our previous year, is Matei Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Keh Melech Rachmam. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meichel Averis when we sin towards him. However, Kam Averis Shel Ben Adam Makim, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Ben Adam L'Chaveri, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not so quick to be Meichel. He says, if you hurt someone else, that I can't be so quick to be Meichel. Achmar Bekiva V'Lemid, so and then Rabbi Kiva said, "Can kaidim gzar din? Hayis Hashem panav elecha that Kadosh Baruch Hu is meichelos is only kaidim gzar din before Kadosh Baruch Hu made a gzar din. Can lach gzar din Hakadosh Baruch Hu after the gzar din Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not meichel." So we see Rabbi Yochanan said that tshuva accomplishes after the gzar din that we should have mechila, and here we see that. It seems that after the Gzar Din, it's too late for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Meichel. Answers the Gemara, Hakanami, Rabbi Kiva is speaking about a situation where a person did tshuva after Gzar Din, but it's talking about a Yochid. And as we learned in our previous year, there's a difference between a Yochid and a Rabbim. A Yochid HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Meichel after the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Meichel after the Gzar Din as well. Says the Gemara, Ugzardin de Yochid, this discussion that we're having now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even after the Gzardin of a Yochid, will rip up the Gzardin, says the Gemara Tanoihi, is actually a Machloikis Tanoim. The Tanya, Hayramei Oy Mishnaim Sha'ol Mita. You have two people that are not well, V'choyin Shavim, and they have identical diseases. V'chen Shnaim Sha'ol Gardim Lidon. They're two people that are involved in a capital case, v'dinan shava, and whatever they're being tried for, two is identical. Ze yored, one of them got well, v'ze lo yored, and the other one did not get well. Ze nitzel, this one was able to emerge from his court case successfully, v'ze lo nitzel. And the question is, why did they not have the similar outcomes? It says the Braisa, Shezeh Espal Venena, this person davened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard his tefillas and saved him. Shezeh Espal Venena, and this person davened, but his tefillas were not answered. And now, of course, the question is, why was one more successful than the other in his tefillah? Shezeh Espal Tefillah Shleima. The Pasha Pshat is that this one had the proper kavana when he davened, and the other one did not have the proper kavana. Rav Elazar says the difference between the two cases is one was before it was a gzar din and kan ach gzar din. And ach gzar din, tefillah is not going to help. Rav Yitzchak Omer, Yofa Tzok L'Adam, Rav Yitzchak holds the person could always daven and be successful with his tefillah, ben koidum gzar din, ben lach gzar din, whether it was before the gzar din or after the gzar din. So we see that this question, if after the gzar din, can somebody still be successful, is actually a machlokes tanoim. So the Kedushas Levi, we explained that tefillah shleima means that he davened with kavana. So Kedushas Levi asks, why is someone who davens with kavana considered, why is it called tefillah shleima? It should be called tefillah toiva, a good tefillah, different way of describing it. Why is it called tefillah shleima? So he says that we see that sometimes tzaddikim, when they're mispalel for a specific situation, they're successful in their tefillah. And sometimes tzaddikim are not successful. So he says, there are two types of tzaddikim. And the same thing I've heard was said regarding people, tzaddikim who leave the world, and they know all the tzaras that are going on in the world. Some tzaddikim, they come to the king's courtyard, so to speak, and they get so involved with the king, they forgot that they came for whatever tefillah they're supposed to be asking for. And there are other tzaddikim that are not on that level, that even though they're still standing in front of the king, they remember what they came for. So it turns out that the tzaddik who's greater, who's so involved in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't accomplish what he was set out to accomplish. So that's what he says. When somebody davens for somebody else, yes, he could start getting involved in thinking about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once he gets involved in thinking about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll forget what he came for. But that's not a tefillah shleima. The definition of a tefillah shleima is an individual who, even when he's standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is thinking about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't forget that he also has to think about the people in this world. And he doesn't have to forget that the people in this world also need Yeshuas. And that's called a tefillah shleima. The other person who forgot to think about other people, that, said the Kedushas Levi, can no longer be considered a tefillah shleima. I saw that Rabbi Eliyahu Pian has a different explanation. He says that the difference is that the difference we see here between a tefillah with kavana and a tefillah without kavana is so immense. We would think both of them davened. So one had kavana and one didn't have kavana, but didn't they both daven? Al Gemara, said Rabbi Eliyahu Pian, is showing us the difference between tefillah with kavana and tefillah shelo b'kavana is the difference between success in your tefillah and not having success in tefillah. But we also saw, and this Gemara points out the Ben Yoyada, that the case of two people, Remeya is the mandamah that says that even though it was a gzar din on this person, he still has the ability of being successful in his tefillah. And the way he has the ability of being successful in his tefillah, says Remeya, is by davening properly. So I saw that the Ben Yoyada says that we know that many people, the Minig Yisrael is, that when there's something going on, they need a Yeshua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they give tzedakah Rameyah Balanes, they give tzedakah to the tzedakah of Rameyah. Why do they give tzedakah specifically to that? So Ben Yoyada says, because in our Gemara we just learned how Rameyah is the one that teaches us the power of tefillah, the power that even if a person already had a gzar din against him, it could be turned over. So it's appropriate that we should give tzedakah to Rameyah Balanes, that he taka should help, that our tefillahs under all circumstances should be answered. Ask the Gemara, v'gvadin the tzibur mimikra. Is it true that the gvadin of a tzibur could be ripped up? V'ha, we find, says the Gemara, a stira between the psukim. Kasev echer aymer, we find in one pasuk, the pasuk says, kapsi mira lipcha libech, Yerushalayim l'man tivashi. The pasuk says, wash yourself, do tshuva, and if you do tshuva, you'll be saved. But yet there's another pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, kim techapsi b'nesi v'sarbecha b'boris, if you use all type of soap and detergent to cleanse yourself, nichtem avaynech l'fanai, your sin is sealed, there's nothing you can do to save it. My laugh. Isn't the way to understand the stira that can koydim gzardin before the gzardin it could be overturned, the kan lach gzardin where it's too late and it can no longer be even overturned? So how are we saying that the avera of a tzibur could be overturned? Says the Gemara, loy idiv idi lach gzardin. Both psukim are speaking about ach gzardin. Vloy kasher. There are two types of gzeris. Kam gzardin sheyeshim ashvua. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu made a shvua that he's going to fulfill his gzar din, it can't be overturned. Kam gzar din she'eni mashvua, but it's a gzar din that doesn't have a shvua that can be overturned. Reb Shmuel bar Ami, and says the Gemara, we learned this concept that there's a difference between a gzar din she'eshi mashvua versus a gzar din she'eni mashvua from what Reb Shmuel bar Ami taught us. Dam Reb Shmuel bar Ami v'amrilei. Amr Shmuva Nachmeni, Amr Bionison, Menayan Gzardin, Shieshi Mashvu Shen Nikra, that if the Gzardin is accompanied with a Shvua, it's never going to be ripped up. Shinemar, the Pasuk in Shmuel speaks about Elia Kohen, who was the Kohen Gadol, and he had two sons, Chafni and Pinchas, who also served in the Mishkan in Shiloh. And what they would do was that if somebody brought a carbon shlamim, they would take more than they deserved. Sometimes they would take from the meat while it was still raw before they were entitled to take the meat. And then the pasuk also says that they had relations with women who had children, that the halacha is that a woman who has a child has to bring a carbon. And the pasuk says that they had relations with them. And although the Gemara explains that they didn't actually have relations, but what they did was that they delayed in bringing these women carbon. And because they delayed bringing these women's carbon, they could not go back home and have the wives have relations with the husband. And the pasuk says that the Navi tells Eli HaKoyin that the Kuhuna Gedola will no longer remain by his family. And the pasuk continues to say that his children, Yemusu Anoshim, they'll die young, they'll die and they'll be poor. And the pasuk says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent this message, the pasuk says when Shmuel delivered this message from Hashem to Eli, says the Gemara, L'chein Ishbati L'Beis Eli, a miskaper. There's nothing that Beis Eli can do that could save that. And I saw that the Sefer Zichron Shleima says the word kapara is to cleanse, and says when somebody does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes such a shvua, ain't like kapara, there is no way how to cleanse. The kapara means that we want to cleanse, and there's no way to cleanse that avera. Rava, however, says Rava, as much as we just learned, there's no way to have a kapara, but the Gemara says the power of Torah, The power of Torah is so great that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this shvua, but a person who learns Torah, the Baal Shem said, he connects himself to such a place in Shemayim that there he's saved from all types of tzaras. Because says the Gemara, Ava and Rava, he can't have a kapara through bringing kapara, kabonis, al miskapa b'toira. By learning Torah, then he can have a kapara. And of course, before we go further, the Ritva points out, why is this a question? We've been learning throughout our shiurim, there's a difference between a gzeira on a yochid versus a gzeira on a tzibur. So why isn't this considered a gzeira on a yochid, on the family of Eli? So the Ritva says that since it affected this prominent family in Klal Yisrael, and not just affected a prominent family in Klal Yisrael, it was affected the Kohen Gadol, that's why it's considered a gzeira din shel tzibur. The Ran says that since this was a gzeira that didn't only affect Eli, but affected his future Eli and his children, but affected all the future generations as well, that's why it's considered a gzeira din shel tzibur. Abaya Amar, b'zevach ha-mincha einu miskaper. Abaya says that indeed it doesn't, the zevach ha-mincha alone can't bring a carbon, can't save this person. Amiskaper b'tayr b'gmilas chesodim. But if you have a combination, that if you have gmilas chesed together with your Torah, that has a kapara. And the way I saw that the Mefarshim explained is the reason a kapara, a carbon, cannot be effective for the family of Eli is because they sinned through, as we explained earlier, through a bringing of kabanis. And therefore we have a rule, ein ketega nasis aneger. But their sin did not involve Torah and gemilas chesedim. And that's why since their aveira did not involve Torah and gemilas chesedim, that's why it could be helped. And says the Gemara, Rabba v'Abaya, the Beis Eli Kosser. Rav and Abaya were both descendants of Beis Eli. Rabba the Osik B'Torah, Rabba learned Torah, Chai Arben Shnin. Abaya the Osik B'Torah B'Gmilas Chassadim, that he was involved in both, Chai Shitin Shnin, lived for 60 years. Tana Rabbanan, Mishpach Achas Hoi B'Yerushalayim, Shai Meseh Meseh B'Nei Shemen Es Rishonah. Terrible tragedy that family, they would pass away when they were 18 years old. And they came to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what can we do for this family that's suffering? So he said that perhaps you're from the family of Eli. The Ksibbe, that it says regarding that family, that the people of the family are going to pass away young. So he said, my advice to you is that you should continue, start learning Torah, v'chiyu, and you'll be zoicha that to live long. Hochav esku b'Torah, that Rabbi Yochanan, so they started learning Torah, v'chayu, and they, Baruch Shem, lived, didn't pass away at such a young age. V'kainasai mishpachas Rabbi Yochanan al shmoi, and they were called on the family, that whole family was now called mishpachas Rabbi Yochanan because of his Eitzah, they were able to live. So of course, the Chafetz Chaim asked the question, why did Rabbi not agree with Abaya? We see here in our Gemara that Abaya's advice was indeed more powerful, that Abaya's advice helped that he lived till 60, not like Rabbi that he lived till 40. So the Chafetz Chaim said that the dispute was that a person who's learning Torah, should he be involved with Chesed? Abaya felt that yes, as we see in our Gemara, that Chesed has a tremendous power. And since Chesed has a tremendous power, you should learn Torah, but do Chesed as well. Rav's opinion, on the other hand, was that a person should only involve himself in Chesed if he's a person who learns Torah, if there's no one else to do that Chesed. But Rav said there were other individuals who were able to do that chesed. And since there were other individuals who were able to do that chesed, he felt that he should spend his time learning and not be involved in chesed. The Alshech says The pasuk says, we say it every day in Krishma, Laman yirbu yumechem v'mei v'nechem, and the pasuk concludes, v'kimei shashamayim ala aretz. So he says, the pasuk also says, im loy b'risi yoyim v'layla, chukas shamayim v'aretz loysamti. And the Gemara Masechta Psachim, Daf Samaches Amabeis, teaches us that we learn from that pasuk that if there would not be Torah in the world, if there aren't people constantly learning Torah, the world could not exist. Says the Gemara, says the pasuk, Laman yirbu yamechem. You know, everybody wants to have arichas yamim. Everybody wants to live long. How can you be zoicha to live long if you involve yourself, kimei hashemayim al aretz, if you involve yourself with Torah that creates that the whole world learns Torah, that you learn Torah, so you're the person that's creating a situation that the world could exist. Because if not for you, the world cannot exist. And that's why, leman yirbu yamechem, you will be zoicha to Torah. The Shem Shmuel has a whole different approach. He says that Torah is the strongest way for us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says that learning Torah is similar to someone who did Tshuva Mehava. And as we know, that just like if somebody does Tshuva Mehava, it's such a powerful Tshuva that has the ability to make the Averis into Zchuyos, that has the ability to make the Averis into Mitzvahs. Since Torah is so powerful, that's why the Torah could bring Arichas Yomim. Amar Rav Shmuel bar in Yom Mishmei D'Rav, B'nayel HaGzeradin Shal Tzibur Shein Anechtem, that how do we know the Gzeradin against the Tzibur is never sealed, and therefore it's easier overturned? Any Nechtem, so stops the Gemara and says, how could you say that it's not sealed? V'ksiv, Nechtem Avaynech Lefonei, that it is sealed. Ella, says the Gemara, what was meant to say, Api Shenechtem, that even though it was sealed, Nechra, it could be ripped up. Shenemar, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk says, the Moshe Rabbeinu says regarding Klal Yisrael, Kimi, Goy Godla Shloel, Kim, Kroivim Elov, Kashem Elekeinu, Bechol Kareinu Olov. That means, under all circumstances, when Kareinu, when we as a Tzibur gather together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us. V'ksiv, but ask the Gemara, doesn't the Pasuk in Yeshaya say regarding Tshuva, Dirshu Hashem b'matzoi. B'matzoi means that only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is available, but not under all circumstances. Answers the Gemara, Hasam b'yachid, an individual who does tshuva, there it's only under certain circumstances. V'hach b'tzibur, but by tzibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always available for us. B'yachid Amos, so says the Gemara, we're learning that as a himatzoi. There's a specific time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself available to us to accept our tshuva. When is that time? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbah Baravua, Eilu Asar Yom Shebein Rishon Yom Kippurim. It refers to the Aseres Yomei Tshuva, that during the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, during the Aseres Yomei Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being matzoi. And I saw that the Shem Shmuel explains what does it mean that he's being matzoi. Himatzoi is from the same word as a metzia. A metzia is something that somebody finds and he's just very lucky to have found it. But he can't, it's not that he worked for it, it's just pure good luck. So he says the Pasuk that we are supposed to look at the Seiros Yemei Tshuva as Himatzui, as days that we just, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself available to us. We're so fortunate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself available to us. And the Mabit in the Sefer Beis Alekim says that what makes the Seiros Yemei Tshuva so special is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he realized, and as we know, we've mentioned this many times, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally created the world, it was his intention that the world should be administered with a Midat Sadin. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that the world can't exist that way. It has to have Midat HaRachmim as well. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point also brought the concept of Tshuva to the world. And these are the days without Shvuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made at the beginning, to that when we do tshuva, then during the Seder Semei Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hear our tefillah. So I saw that the Sefer Gevuras Yitzchak points out that there's two types of tshuva. There's tshuva that somebody did averis, and then there's tshuvas for somebody who has the wrong hashkafa in his avodas Hashem, in his attitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says tshuva on somebody who does the wrong thing is helpful all year round, not only the Seder Shemei Tshuva. He says what's special about the Seder Shemei Tshuva, says the Gevuras Yitzchak, that these are days where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more focused on our approach, on our hashkafas. After David HaMelech ran away from Shaul, he sent 10 of his assistants to Novel to ask him to give food to them. So it says, the pasuk says, "Vehika serves yomim and veyigav Hashem as Novel." Ask the Gemara, what is the reason that if Novel decided was the deserving of a punishment, that he waited 10 days? Aser yomim mayev v'detayu. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, k'neged asel gimel shenosu Novel avi David. Even though he didn't give them all the meals that they requested, he gave them a legima. He gave them something, a small amount. And because of that, he gave each one of these 10 people a small amount. And because he gave each one of them a small amount, that's why he lived those extra 10 days. The 10 days that are referred to in this pasuk are the Aser Shimei Tshuva, and because they were the Aser Shimei Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanus and waited to see if he'll do tshuva. We learned in the Mishnah, B'Rosh Hashanah, Kol Boya Oilim Oibrim Lefanov Kivnei Meroin. Ask the Gemara, my Kivnei Meroin. What does it mean when it says that we all pass in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivnei Meroin? Says the Gemara, Hoche Tagima Kivnei Amrona. The Torah says that every year, we spoke about this earlier in our Masechta, we have to give Maisa Behema. That means 1/10 of all the new animals of that year have to be given as Maisa. And the procedure for giving Maisa was that there was a narrow passageway from where the animals were to go out. And every 10th animal, they painted with red paint. So that's how we are all looked at during on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Lakish Amar Kamala Space Moroin, that there's a very narrow path and very narrow road going up this steep mountain, and there's only room for one person at a time to walk single file. Yehuda Amar Shmuel Kichayol Shabbos David, like when the king examined, when David HaMelech examines his soldiers, they pass by one at a time. So the Mashal says, all of these three pshatim really speak to the same point. So why did the Gemara have to teach us these three different examples? So he says, as we've been learning, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu approaches Klal Yisrael on Rosh Hashanah on the Yom HaDin, there are three groups in Klal Yisrael. There are Tzadikim, the Rishoyim, and the Beinonim. When it says Kibnei Amrona, it's referring, like the sheep, it's referring to the Rishoyim. The Rishoyim, they look at these days, these wonderful special days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an opportunity to do tshuva, and they treat these days like animals. Kivnei Meroin are people that are walking in a dangerous path, single file. That's talking about the Beinonim. The Beinonim, it's not sure. And then the Kechayolos based David is referring to the Tzadikim, just like the soldiers, all of the soldiers in the army of David HaMelech were all tzaddikim. Another pshat I saw is similar. The one group of people, when it comes to the Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippur, the Aser Shimei Tshuva, they take it extremely seriously. They're like the Chayolos Beis David. The second group, they don't start an Elul or even right away by Rosh Hashanah doing tshuva. They wait for the last moment. They're like the people who walk on that dangerous, steep mountain. And then there are individuals who are like animals. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an Elul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Rosh Hashanah, a Aser Shimei Tshuva, Yom Kippur. And to them, these are days that don't have any effect on them, and they're like animals. They remain as they were originally. Amar Rabba b'Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. But says the Gemara, even though we just discussed how each one of us is judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu during these days, but then afterwards, for kulan the skar b'skira achas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at all of them. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Afanan Amitanina, the Pasuk says, Hayotze, that's what we learned in the Mishnah. The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Hayotzi yachliba mevin kama sayim my kama ilay mahach kama devrenu kol kulam kula alma." That Hakadosh Baruch Hu created all of us. Umiyachad liba kadadaya, and we're all the same. Says the Marvukah Chazin the Lav Hachihu. It's certainly not the case that we're all the same. El Lav Hachikamer. What does the pasuk mean to teach us? Hayotze roy yachad libam. He looks at all of us. Or maybe call him the same, and then he also judges what we've done. So what is pshat? So one pshat that I saw is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nefesh Chaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us, he doesn't just judge us for what we do, he also judges us for our kavanah, for what's in our heart. Hayotze yachad libam, hamevin kol maaseihim. Another pshat that I saw is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at is our achdus. How are we getting along one with the other? And then I saw another pshat, we've mentioned this previously, that there's a very fundamental difference between the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu approaches the way he judges us versus the way a normal judge, a regular judge, judges people. When a regular judge judges people, he looks at that person who did or didn't do what he was supposed to do, and he decides how to treat him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just look at that individual. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also looks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at his entire family. And maybe he did something wrong, but his family doesn't deserve to be punished. And in fact, I saw that the Sefer Chashuk Echemet says that if a person, as he approaches the Yom HaDin, how could he, and he wants to be saved, and he knows Chas V'Shalom, he did a virus, what could he do? So he explains that what he should do is he should be a person that does chesed. We spoke about doing chesed with other people. Because if he's an individual who does chesed for other people, then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at him, he doesn't just look at him, but he looks at everybody who's going to be adversely affected if he is punished. And those people maybe don't deserve punishment. So by you thinking and being concerned for other people, what that causes is that you should be saved as well, even if you don't necessarily deserve it. As we've discussed, and we're going to discuss quite extensively as we continue Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch, learning our Masechta, in the time of Chazal, the way the month, the way Rosh Chodesh was declared was Api Re'iya, by Edom coming and saying that they saw the new moon. And we know that every Jewish month could be a month of 29 days or 30 days. And if the Edom came and said that they saw the new moon on the 30th day of the previous month, Beis Din declared that month to be, to that day to be Rosh Chodesh, and therefore the previous month is 29 days, and the 30th day is the first day of the new month. If they didn't come on that day, so then the 30th day is still part of the previous month, and the next month is on the 31st. The next month is on the 31st day. So, since they didn't have a firm calendar, but rather it was dependent on Beis Din declaring Rosh Chodesh, so once Beis Din made that declaration, and again, they did not have modern communications, so what they did was that they used to then send, as we're going to learn, shlichim. They used to send out messengers to notify everyone that this is when Rosh Chodesh was declared. Says the Mishnah, al shisha chadashim shluchim shalchim, shluchim yotzim. For 6 months, the shlichim go out. Even though, says the Sifrei Chachamim, the Mishnah uses the word shluchim, lashon rabim, the halach is that you didn't need to have, says the Sifrei Chachamim, two shluchim, one shliach going out and reporting is satisfactory. On this, they went out of Pesach. Al Av, they went out Matnei Hatanis to notify everybody when Tisha B'Av was. Of course, our Mishnah doesn't mention that they went out for Chodesh Sivan. And the reason that Mishnah doesn't mention that they went out for Chodesh Sivan is because on Chodesh Sivan is Shavuos, and we should know that Shavuos is always the 50th day from when we count the Sfiras Omer. So if we know when Pesach was, as we just discussed, that they knew when Pesach was, they'll obviously always know when Shavuos was, no matter if they know when the Rosh Chodesh was or not. There's an interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim, and if they went out for Pesach, that they could. So wherever they reached before Pesach, fantastic, that the people should know that now is Pesach. The question is, should they go out, continue traveling on Chol Moed, keep on traveling to notify more people that it was Pesach? So it seems that all the Rishonim agree that even if they were to travel on Chol Moed, in a community where they kept 2 days on the first days of Pesach, 2 days Yontif, because the Shlichim had not arrived, and this is the basis that as we had learned in Masech Tabeya, why we in Chutz Laretz keep 2 days Yontif. Any place that they arrived, that they did not arrive for the first days of Pesach, are going to have to keep 2 days by the second days of Pesach. But since in Halacha, as we also learned in Masech Tabeya, there's a difference between the first day Yontif and the second day Yontif, they continued traveling to know which was the day of Rosh Chodesh to know. However, the others say, since they already kept the first 2 days, there's no point in continuing traveling on Chol Hamoed. Anywhere that they didn't arrive, as we just said, they kept 2 days. But as much as they kept 2 days in anywhere that they arrived, they did not keep 2 days Tisha B'Av. In other words, if they didn't arrive in the month of Tisha B'Av, by Tisha B'Av, the places didn't know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was, and they didn't necessarily keep, they didn't know when to keep Tisha B'Av. Still, because it was too difficult to get to wherever, to keep 2 days Tisha B'Av, they only kept one. But the day that they kept was the second day, that was not the first day. And the reason is, because the Gemara says that really Tisha B'Av should have been Yud B'Av, because most of the Beis HaMikdash was burnt on Yud B'Av. But the Gemara says we go with a Schuli Pernasai. We go with when the Tzaris began. But for that much, we go with the second day, that when we're not sure which day of Tisha B'Av to keep, we keep the second day. Elul, they went out with Nei Rosh Hashanah. So, of course, when we speak about Elul, as we discussed, we mentioned earlier, Rosh Hashanah is a day that Rosh Hashanah is the only Yontif that's the beginning of the month. And since it's the beginning of the month, it's impossible for almost anyone in that world to know when Rosh Chodesh was declared. So the question is, what did they do? So Rashi says, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, most years Elul is not Mubur. Most year Elul is only a 29-day month, and therefore the 30th day of Elul was Rosh Hashanah, and they kept only 1 day, even though they didn't know that for certain. Tosfos and most Rosh Hashanim disagree, and they held that, of course, they kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah. As we know, everybody, even Bizman Hazeh, keeps 2 days Rosh Hashanah. And there are those, the Rishash and others say, the Rashi also will agree that we kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah, as we learned so extensively when we learned Masech Tabeya. Rashi just means to say that the first day of Rosh Hashanah was considered the primary day of Rosh Hashanah. Al-Elul, they went out to Mnei Rosh Hashanah. Al-Tishrei, Mnei Takanas HaMa'adus, they went out to know when the Yom Tovim are. Al-Kislev, they went out Bnei Chanukah, Al Adam Bnei Purim. It says the Gemara Kshay Beis Hamikdash Kayim, when the Beis Hamikdash stood, Yoytzin Af Al Ir, they went out for Ir Bnei Pesach Katan, because of the Pesach Katan. The question that's discussed by the Michas Chinuch is, in the places where they did not arrive in time for Chanukah and Purim, did they keep 1 day Chanukah or 2 days Chanukah? So the Michas Chinuch says that they kept one day Hanukkah, one day Purim. Because even though they didn't know for certain when it was, still, it, since Hanukkah and Purim are only the Rabbanon, one day was all that they went out for. Pesach Katan means Pesach Sheni. And the reason it's called Pesach Katan is because it was only a one-day Yontif, unlike Pesach, which is a seven-day Yontif. Another pshat is that not most people obviously did not participate in Pesach Katan, Pesach Sheni. They did bring the Karban Pesach Rishon. And a third pshat is that the people who brought the Karban Pesach Sheni were people who didn't do the mitzvah in the most optimal fashion. And since they didn't do the mitzvah in the most optimal fashion, it's called Pesach Katan. Ask the Gemara, the left Ganami at Tammuz v'Tevis. Why don't they go out for Tammuz where we have the fast of Shiva also for Tammuz? Why don't we go out for Tevis to know when a Seira b'Tevis is? Says the Gemara, Domer Rav Chizna b'Chan v'Bizna, Omer Rav Shimon b'Chsida Mai d'Ksiv, the Pasuk in Zechariah, when the people who came from Bavel back to Yerushalayim in the time of the base of Megdashani, Zechariah says to them, "Koy Omer Hashem, Tzoyim Arvi, V'Tzoyim Chamishi, V'Tzoyim Shvi, V'Tzoyim Asiri, Yiu LeBeis Yehuda, LeSasun LeSimcha." These the fasts that took place in all these months will be Yom Tovim. So the question when we read the pasuk is sort of difficult to understand. On one hand, Karlei Tzoyim. These days are called fast days. On the other hand, Karlei Sasa V'Simcha. They're called days of Sasa V'Simcha. How do we reconcile this? Says the Gemara, Bezman Shiesh Shalom. Rashi says that the Akum are not prevailing over us. Then they're Bezman Shiesh Shalom. They're L'Sasa V'Simcha. Bezman Shiesh, and when there's ain't Shalom, when we're not in such a situation, then that's Tzoyim. That's the days of fast. That's the way Rashi approaches the Gemara. The Ramban says the difference is if it's a time when the Beis HaMikdash is standing or the time when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing. Says the Gemara, Amar Rapapa. Rapapa says this is the way to understand the Pesukim. Hachi Kamar. This is the way to understand the Pesukim. Bezman Shiyesh Shalom Yiyu L'Sasun L'Simcha. There will be days of Sasun L'Simcha. They'll be considered Yom Tovim. Ubizman, and the time Sheish Kseris Malchus, Tzoyim. Then they're going to be fast days. And days where Eng Kseris Malchus ain't Shalom, that on one hand, they're not making terrible decrees against us. But on the other hand, we're not really living in a great world. And of course, certainly if we follow the opinion of the Ramban, it means that in a time where we do not have a Beis HaMikdash, Rotsum Sanim, it's our choice. We could decide to fast or decide Eimasanim. And here too, we have a very big machloikus Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, the Ran says, it's every individual person's decision to decide, should he fast or shouldn't he fast? The Ramban says, it's not possible that everybody should make their own decision. Rather, what it means is that whatever is decided that Klal Yisrael will do, that's what we're all obligated to do. But, so now the Gemara asks, Ihochi, so if that's the case, that the Shlichim didn't go out on Tammuz and Tevis, because as we just learned, the fast in those months is not firm, it really depends on circumstances. Ihochi Tisha B'Av Nami. For Tisha B'Av, they should also not send Shlichim, because it's also the same. And Tisha B'Av is also mentioned in that pasuk. Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa Shani Tisha B'Av, Hoil V'Huch V'Loi Tzoris. Tisha B'Av was a day that had so many Tzoris on that day. Dama Ma, Tisha B'Av, Chorv Abayis B'Rishoyna, and the Churban Abayis Rishon took place on Tisha B'Av, Ubishni and the Churban Abayis Sheni, V'Nilka Betar, Betar was a city with many Jews, and Talmid Chachamim was captured, V'Nechashayir, and Yerushalayim was completely plowed up. And because it was such a terrible day, that's why it was decided that that day will remain a fast day. That day will remain a fast day forever. Of course, the Mefarshim ask that Shivas B'Tamis, The Gemara also says, the Mishnah says, in Masech the Tainus, Daf Chav Vav Mebeis, that many terrible things happened. So one answer given is, Tosfos gives, that yes, terrible things happened on Shavuos Matamis, but Tisha B'Av was the day of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which makes it so much more. Tosfos also says, the difference between Tisha B'Av and Shavuos Matamis is that not only was Tisha B'Av a day that so many tzaras happened, but Tisha B'Av was the day that the same terrible fate that occurred to us happened twice. But as we just learned, both Beit HaMikdash were burnt on Tisha B'Av. And the Ben Ishchai and the Ben Yoyod explains, that's why on Shabbos Nachmu, since Tisha B'Av, we just said, is a day of Huch B'Loit Beit Tzaras, that's why we say after Tisha B'Av, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, we say it twice. Tanya, Amar Reb Shimon, Arba Dvarim Hay Reb Kiva Dairish, Reb Kiva would explain Pesukim in four ways. Ve'ein Ani Dairish Kamaisai, that even though, says the Bricha Yosef, I'm Reb Kiva's Talmud, I don't agree with him. And of course the Bricha Yosef asks, how could a Talmud not disagree with his Rebbe? So he says that there's a difference between a Dvar Halacha and a Dvar Agada. And a Dvar Halacha, there are certain very limited circumstances where a Talmud could disagree with his Rebbe. When here we're talking about a Dvar Agada, there he may disagree with his Rebbe. The Pasuk says, Tzoyma Revi, when the Pasuk spoke about Tzoyma Revi, said, Tisha B'Tamis. It's referring to 9 days in Tamis. Shabai Hufka'ir, that was the day that the wall around Yerushalayim was breached. Shenemar b'chaydish arvi b'tish l'chaydish v'yechazag hara b'ir. The hunger became very strong. V'loy hoylechem l'am ha'aretz. People didn't have what to eat. V'tidboka ir. And the wall around the city was breached. V'may karolei revi. And why is it called revi? Revi l'chadoshim. Because Tish Tamuz is the fourth month. As we learned, Nisan is the first month. Tzoy mechamishi says Zeh Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Kiva explained that that's Tisha B'Av. Shabbai Nisr Beis Elkeinu. As we discussed, that was the day that the Beis HaMikdash was burnt. V'may karolei chamishi. Why is it called chamishi? Because Av is chamishi l'chadoshim, the fifth month. Tzai Mashi Zeh Shlosh B'Tishrei. 3 days in Tishrei. Shabbai Nera Gedaliah Ben Achikam. That was the day that Gedaliah Ben Achikam, who was the governor appointed by Nebuchadnezzar over the Jews that had left in Eretz Yisrael, was murdered. Says the Gemara, Mi Hergoy, who murdered him? Yishmael ben Nesanya. He was from the family of Malchi Beis David, and he was upset that Gedaliah was appointed this position, and he killed him. L'lam decha, and teaches us the Gemara. From here we see that Tzom Gedaliah is considered one of the fast days together with all the fast days to commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. L'lam decha sheshkul misasin shal tzadikim tzitzreifas Beis HaKeinu. They're equivalent. V'may karle shvi. Why is it called shvi? Shvi l'chadoshim. So the Ben Yoyada asks, unfortunately, in our history, there have been many circumstances where Jews have been killed, great Jews have been killed, and we don't call every, and we don't have a fast day for every time a Jew was killed. So he says it's much worse when a Jew kills a Jew versus somebody else killing a Jew. And what happened here was that he was killed by Yishmael Nesanya, who was a fellow Jew. Tzai Ma'asiri is a Sarbatavis. That's when the Melech Bavel Nebuchadnezzar started attacking Yerushalayim. Shnem v'hid v'Hashem elai b'shonat shiz b'chaydash asiri b'esel l'chaydash leimer ben Adam k'soiv l'cha Hashem ayoyim etz etzem ayoyim hazeh samach mevel bel Yerushalayim. That was the day they began attacking Yerushalayim. V'may korle asiri. Why is it called asiri? Because Tevis is the asir l'chadash in the 10th of month. Ask the Gemara. So this was the first that happened where he attacked Yerushalayim. So shouldn't this fast day been mentioned first in the Pasuk? Why was it mentioned last? The Pasuk wanted to mention the fast days according to the chronological order of the months. Vani, says Rav Shimon, ain't Oymer Cain. I don't agree when he said Tzoyma Siri. El Tzoyma Siri, I say Zechamisha Vitavis. Shabbat Shmuel Agoyla, that that was the day that the news came to the Golos, Shok Seir, that Yerushalayim was destroyed. Shnema v'shi b'shteim esr shana b'asiri b'chamish l'chaydish l'goloseinu, ba'alei apalot m'Yerushalayim, somebody who was able to escape from Yerushalayim came, lamer to inform us that Hok Seir. V'asu yom shmua, and the day that they heard this terrible news, was treated kiyom sreifa, like the actual day that it happened, that the city was burnt. V'naran devarai, and he says, what I say is makes more sense than what devarov, than what he said. The Rebbe Kiva said, tzoymer asiri means asar b'tevis. Shani oimal rishon, tzoymer avii, I say, was rishon l'peronius, that was first. While achron, the tzoymer asiri is referring to the achron, when they heard that Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. V'oimal rishon achron, v'al achron rishon, as we said, Rebbe Kiva has the order of what happened not consistent in the pasuk. He says the difference is that he follows the order of the months, and I follow the order of the history, what happened first and what happened last. In the time of the Tanoim, they wrote something called the Megillus Tainus. Megillus Tainus is, as we know, in those times, Divrei Torah Shebaaleh was not written. But they wrote this scroll in which they kept a record of all the days that Nisim happened to Yisrael, and therefore they considered Yom Tovim. Some of the days you may not fast, some of the days you're not allowed to even say a hesped. And now the question is, after the Churban Abayis, does the Megillus Tainus remain in effect? Itma, Rav of Chanina Amri, Batel Megillus Tainus, after the Churban Abayis, all of those Yom Tovim are no longer considered Yom Tovim. Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shuba Levi Amri, Loi Batel Megillus Tainus. Rav of Chanina Amri, Batel Megillus Tainus, Hachkomer, because the Pasuk says, Bezman Shie Sholem, when there's Sholem, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, you, L'sosl Simcha, those days will be Yom Tovim. She'ain Sholem, when there's no Sholem, the various pshatim that we gave, tzoyim. V'hanach nami, and the Yom Tovim in Megillus Tainus, are kahani, are considered like the dates in that pasuk, that they're no longer considered Yom Tovim. Rav Yochan, Rav Shub and Levi Amri, loy batel Megillus Tainus. Hanu the talin rechman of binyan Beis HaMikdash. All the fast days are related to the Beis HaMikdash. So if the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, they're not to be considered Yom Tovim. Avahanuch, when we speak about the Yom Tovim that are mentioned in the Megillus Tainus, k'dekaimi kaimi, they remain the same. Moser of Kahana, Mas v'goz v'tanis b'chanukah b'lud, they were goz v'tanis in the city of Lud on Chanukah, v'yard Rebbe Lezer v'rochetz, and Rebbe Lezer went to the bathhouse, Rebbe Shua v'siper, and Rebbe Shua took a haircut. Amalem tzu v'sanu, you need to fast amasha sinisim, that you treated these days not like a yontif. So we see that the Yom Tovim remain. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef Shani Chanukah. Chanukah is different, dika mitzvah. And since Chanukah comes with the mitzvah of Adlokas Neiris, that's why it didn't become bottle. Amar Abaya, v'tibotel even tibotel mitzvah. So let's abolish Chanukah and the mitzvah that we do in Chanukah. Allah Amar Rabbi Yosef Shani Chanukah. Chanukah is different than Mefarsim and Nisa. Chanukah involves Pirsim and Nes. And whenever there's a question of Pirsim and Nes, of course we have to treat it in a very different way. And I saw that the Chashuki Chemed, based on this, has a very interesting discussion. Is it preferable for somebody to make his own candles, to make his own wicks for the menorah, or to buy ready-made wicks? Because if, as our Gemara says, Chanukah is so special, it involves being mefarsim the nes, so maybe we should make our own wicks to make pirsim the nes. So he says, certainly if somebody is able to make a nes, to do it and make them in a way that they're as good as the wicks that are made what you buy, so to show how connected we are to the mitzvah, we should do so. But if you're going to buy wicks and they're better than the wicks and the light that you make yourself and the light better, so even though Pirsim and Nes is so important, you should buy them. And in fact, The Pesukim discuss, on one hand, we see how important it is to be mefarsim the neis. But then there's a question then that sometimes we have to be concerned for ayin hara, that if some wonderful thing happened to somebody, if we publicize it, should we not be concerned for an ayin hara? So the Chushke Chemed discusses and he says, it depends. If the neis that happened b'derech ha-teva, it wasn't, it's everything that happens to us is nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. But sometimes the nisim are cloaked b'derech ha-teva. It doesn't look so obvious that there was a neis, then we should be mefarsim it. But if it's in a situation where it's a neis and we'll speak about it, we could cause an ayin hara, so then we should keep it low-key.